We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing, finally. We're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning, finally. And we're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same.
Gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Yes, or Miss Artie Kornfeld. Oh, God, I guess it was Henry Chastity. Oh, no. Anyway, welcome to the Spirit tonight. It's sort of a cool thing because, you know what, I really could see what's going on, and I really think that the people that want to destroy our country, God almighty, look at what's happening. You know, I was talking to friends in Canada and other countries. They're looking at us going, wow. Because we're affecting them, but our middle class is gone. Either you're in the upper 2 or 3 to 10%, or you're in trouble. And it's amazing to see people work their whole life, you know, and because people are doing favors, you know, with I think lobbyists should be banned, you know. It's all not right, you know. That's why I love what G-Man does with the station, you know. Free music, you know. So many times when I had my labels, I would do a... If there was a, we called them bands in those days. I would provide the stage and the band, you know, and it was really cool. I liked those days a lot. Yeah, I was out to make bread. I was a good writer, so that was okay. But doing something that really meant something special, that was it, because that was for all of us, not for me. It was really to all share, you know, together a weekend. And those were good days in those days, you know. And these days are, God, they've sort of made it impossible for me to really get up and excited, except I hear we're all playing in the same band. It sort of lifts me up because, God almighty, we should start realizing we're out of tune. You know, don't you think, Z-Man, we're playing in a different key?
It seems like some of us are way off, not even on the same song at all.
No, they're on a different page to a different... They're playing Beethoven, and we're doing Fats Domino, Blueberry Hill. I don't think it's the kind of music. It's just the fact of you could almost feel the oppression in the streets. It's like it's sad, you know. It's sad for America to be like this. And you know, 24th in education, amazing stuff, you know. And I really don't get it. you know, it's hard for me to even say on this side, that side, because I really don't get how these people are really believing this stuff they're putting out. And it's, you know, it's not brainwashing, because it's really not meant for people with brains, because the people that are behind, hey, God bless you all you Tea Party people, you know. But I think what it's all about, not that I think religion is cool at all, but I mean, it was all about helping each other, and and when Michael and I got together, it was like a natural, you know. We all wanted to get together and show that we are the generation. So the show is all about getting the generation back, and we're here. Got a really interesting band tonight. It's sort of different, you know, and new, you know, new to me, new to you. So we get to share that tonight, and that's sort of fun. And I think that's the great gift of doing this all. Because you're probably working as hard as I am, saying, "Come on, Artie, don't fall over now." Anyway, thanks for coming in tonight. We're gonna have John Sullivan and his band coming on, and we're gonna open with a song called. By the way, John is very political. I always talk to everybody, whether it's May Pang or whether it's John Sullivan, you know, about how they got there, what's it all about, what's their impressions. So why don't we hear a little Ghost Town, and then we'll bring John Sullivan out while that's playing, and we'll just talk a little and play some music. Sounds good, right? Ghost Town with John Sullivan. John's cool because we've been talking on the phone. He's very cool, and I like talking to him. It's a break from everything else because he lives his music and he walks the talk, and that's really cool. Let me ask you, Johnny. When did you get this jubilation or rapture? You know, I'm not quoting Genesis, but I guess I am. But I mean, when did you get this know that you were going to have to? Music was going to be your life.
Well, you know, Artie, when I was growing up, actually when I was very young, probably like 3-4 years old, my dad had a band with all his brothers. He's got 5 brothers plus himself, and they had a blues band, real kind of stuff like Paul Butterfield type stuff.
Like Butterfield, yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, early Jay Giles stuff and, you know, little Yardbirds in there, and they were smoking bands, still are actually, they still play now. And, you know, watching them growing up, I was like, man, you know, I got to do that same thing. So I just started doing that and playing. And it was more about playing. But then, of course, like every little young kid in the early 70s, you know, like when I probably heard, like, you know, Kiss, it just blew my mind. You know, Fire and Blood and drums rising up in the air and all that. And I was like, man, you know, I want to do that. I want to be out, like, doing that. Not just playing, but like rocking the world.
And yeah, live your rock, right? New saying, live your rock.
Right.
that doesn't mean rocks, guys out there.
Yeah, it
means,
right.
It means live your rock. If you live the other rock, you're heading. I'm sorry for a shorter life, you know. And I speak from experience, but I suggest keep away from these pain doctors and keep away from anything white, you know. And I don't know, you know, the Indians did pretty fine with whatever they did, you know.
That's right.
But, you know, and we went along and messed up such a beautiful society, you know. When I have visions, I inevitably go to being in a canoe going up the Hudson or being in the mountains. I always connect in one of my lives, you know, to being an Indian medicine man, you know. It's sort of weird. And we came in, you know, I actually read an article that, the pilgrims actually planned with X amount of cases of liquor for each tribe that they had to get. They stoned them out.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I read, and they stoned them out with alcohol. And it was always my theory. I haven't said this on TV or anything in the interviews. I always sort of felt that that the government saw this threat because we were a major force, all of us, so you too. You know, whether you were there or not, you're part of us. I'm part of you. You're part of me, and that's what makes us still here. And it's I feel a resurgence of us, and you know, just the fact that these people are showing up saying, "Hey, you can't kick us all out of our jobs just like that."
Right.
So you can make more money and outsource, and you know, we have kids starving, and you know, And when I was in Korea, I've said it before, the kids in Korea, they were complaining because they had 2,000 more hours of school a year, you know. And then we wonder, how can we fall behind technologically a little bit?
Well, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it certainly would help if, you know, there was a different way that politicians kind of rose through the ranks instead of being funded by some, you know, business interest that, you know, you're beholden to these people once you get to that position, because then I don't know how anyone can rise up and do the job when you're really just there. You know, your career's been bought and paid for by someone else. It makes it kind of tough.
Oh, yeah, you know, probably. Yeah, it gave me a break, but, you know, but I needed that $75 a week back in 1961 when I signed my biggest deal and I got $500 from BMI. That was like a massive amount of money to me.
Yeah.
You know, and someone paying for you to do your demos? I mean, what'd you feel like the first time you went in to cut one of your songs as a demo?
You know, I kind of always really dug being in the studio. You know, we went in with a guy, his name was Jeff Islinger. I was probably 13 years old, me and my buddies in my band. And we went and cut like 5 of our original tunes. We played everything. Obviously, back then it was taped, so we were playing live. Then we did the singing afterwards, and I thought it was just really cool the way you can really shape the sound and get it, you know, get that sound like the way you hear it in your head. You know, sometimes when a band plays, it's a little rough, especially when you're younger like that, And we were able to really go in and knock out, at the time, what we thought was like a killer tape. And I liked the process, and I liked the results most of the time in the studio.
Well, then you know what? That record was a hit to me. If you loved it and you felt that way about it and you stand by it, to me, you know, I respect the way you feel, you know, and I know what it's like to be a writer. And bad records out there start to happen and then stopped happening. And, you know, it's just really good that there is a new wave, you know, and I hope we're part of it. I mean, we are, but we are the wave. I just hope that these SOBs don't really stop us from doing what we have to do, which is basically sort of save the world.
Yeah, well, I agree, you know. I think that I think there's a lot to be said about the energy you put out into the universe and what frequencies it's ringing back to you, I guess. And, yeah, I think that there's a lot of change that can happen and a lot of good that can happen. I don't know if politically sometimes is going to be the quickest route because there's a lot to sort through, but I think I guess what most people would call a spiritual route, I think you can move mountains that way for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing, though, I swear, when they try to get the simplest bill through Congress, it's almost like reading an Ernest Hemingway novel. I mean, I always lose track and you forget what family lived when and who was the cousin and who had an affair with who.
Yeah.
The last Hemingway book I wrote was Chesapeake, and after, like, you know, what was it, 8,000 million pages, you know, so I stopped with about 100 pages left, so I have no idea what happened to the 19,000 families that I was keeping track. It's amazing that as a writer, this guy could hold us. And the next song from John Sullivan and his friends is called...
Inner Voice?
I think so. Do you hear one? Do you hear inner voices?
We're flesh and blood and energy, we're animals and kings. Memories, experiences, people, places and things. But when we're held in fear by the things that we hold dear, can you find your way through it all? In the day when truth speaks softly, can you hear the sound? Bad advice and good intentions fill the lost and found, but still yeah, the time is coming when the light will shine.
John Sullivan. In word with music, coming across through Artie Cornfell's cell phone that he can't work, and maybe on my computer that I can't work either. So it's sort of funny. We were talking before about the electronics and what's going on now, and it's like I don't know. It's like I understand the. I could do the Pro Tools and digital disc performer, whatever it is. I just sort of miss the days where, you know, I used to like to override the voices. You know, wouldn't you like to be there just putting your voice, or do you actually do that with Pro Tools? You go by section and you put your voice in exactly where it belongs.
No, you know, I have Pro Tools in my little basement studio, and I just use it like a roll of tape. You know, I roll the tape, I do three or four takes of singing, I pick the stuff I like the best, and I just go with it. I don't really fiddle around too much.
So, yeah, but you know what, that's the way I cut that way, you know, except for the ones that were big hits that had strings and horns, you know, then it was already done. That's the way McCartney cuts. Now, John Lennon cut the way I cut on most of my stuff. We just go in, have a chord sheet, because believe me, I knew the musicians around me could play their acts much better than I could play their acts. So for me, it was always, give me what you got, guys. And then I would just sit back and be blown away that I was with such great musicians.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really belong here, but I'm here now by longevity.
That's good, though. You've seen the greats. I mean, you were around when, like, everything that everyone is into was actually, like, forming everything we know about rock and roll, man. I mean, you know.
Oh, that's, yeah, so there's been five different decades where people told me, this can't happen, and I watch it, and the music industry is over, and this is over. But it always seems to come back, and I just hope sooner or later this is going to bounce back, you know, where radio opens up again, you know, because you do reach a lot of people. We're a freak show because I got the Woodstock name, and, you know, and I'm good, you know, and I have guests like you that are good, you know. And I went for you because I liked the first cut, you know, so much. I said, yeah, I'll have to have a band on.
Yeah,
you know, it's in. I guess that's what record companies used to pay me to do, right? So now I do it for free.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, it's a great show, and I'm of course honored to be on and talking to you about it. And I was checking out some of the other shows you had on your site too. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's just I really love music, and I always will love music. You know, and that's just it. You know, it's almost like when I got with Caroline, my wife, you know, I was really broken from a divorce and losing a wife and child and everything, and then just the music and getting back into it, it's really saved me. And my friend who managed the band, when Albert Grossman died, my friend Larry, Samuelson, he died of a heart attack in his sleep instead of white. It sort of wiped it away from me because I love those days of recording that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And well, we had all the good equipment, but it wasn't all digital. So that's all a matter of if it comes down and it sounds good, who cares if it's through a toilet mic, you know?
That's right.
You know, cause, I mean, I don't know.
You look at a record like, you know, Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. It was like a little tape recorder, you know, and it's an amazing record. I think a great record comes through. The technology don't even matter. It's like if it's cool, then it's just cool, you know, like Street Fighting Man from the Stones. Keith Richards put like a tape deck mic inside his guitar, which most studio people are like, oh, don't do that. But
That's right. It
was just cool, you know, and if it works, it works. It doesn't really matter how you do it.
Yeah, no, not at all, because, you know, the whole thing, you know, I remember working with Brian Wilson, who's a genius, you know, and
yeah.
And working with Jan Berry and with the West Coast guys. This is when Leon Russell wore a suit, you know, and it was a whole different setup with the Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Yeah.
It's just that everybody was so into the music. You know, I was always so proud of I was given a gift that could at least keep me involved with this industry.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't expect, as far as Woodstock goes, I didn't expect a Woodstock, you know. I mean, I knew the world needed one, because when I was in India, even though there's beautiful parts, the horror that I saw of people starving, you know.
Right.
And the violence was just frightening, and yet I want to go back. Is it strange? and see if I could do anything, I'll probably be served at one of the Indian barbecues or something. but no cow, only humans. Can't eat cows, but you can eat humans, and I get that from an inner voice, and that's why sometimes I say the word. So take your choice.
Oh, man.
Just say the word.
Yeah.
Dead man walking,
I say, gang, you're on the ride with John Sullivan now, and good stuff. Nice music. Boy, it's nice to sit back on some good music, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Thanks for playing it.
Yeah, well, you know, even if everybody's house is in foreclosure, it doesn't really matter. You had good music, you know. If you believe that, you know, you're crazy. You know,
yeah.
You know, all these gatherings is, you know, it's all these gatherings and this song, by the way, is incredible.
Yeah.
The song we're playing right now, that's an incredible song. I can't wait to tell people where to get the music, and then we'll talk. Maybe I'll help you out.
Cool.
Yeah, because I like it.
Thanks, man.
And I like your music. Remind me of me. You know, way back then. Way back in the Stagecoach days. You know, so, yeah. Sort of nice. So our next song is Suburban Sprawl. We're playing it now.
Yeah.
What are we playing now?
I think that's the one.
Thought a change would do you some good. To a cul-de-sac neighborhood. Now you feel like you're disappearing. And all you say is nothing worth hearing. Where dreams go to die, and everybody is blind in one eye, quarantined behind their own walls, medicated to feel nothing at all.
Studio, which is all over the country, you would have realized I actually knew the name of the song that was playing. You know, really interesting, you know, liberation. You know, it's almost like if what I liked it when I got your songs from you is when you go down, it, you know, goes down in a voice, say the words, Suburban Street, liberation, the feeling, And then Bert Sumner that I just happened to throw in. And it's almost like it's all part of it's all. It's like this song we're all playing in the same band. Like this music is all part of that band, because there's a place for it.
Yeah.
You're an artist now, and I was an artist, but I was a successful writer. Do you find it? Well, yeah, of course you do. You find it frustrating the way radio is right now.
Well, I mean, I wish that it was better, but you know, like I grew up like my musical awareness is based on FM radio. That's why I like Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and Led Zeppelin and The Doors and The Beatles.
Long.
You know, and it's like,
yeah.
I know there's a lot of like underground music that's really cool too, and I like some of that. But like what I kind of write the way that I learned music on the radio, because I think that when the stuff was coming out, it was amazing. I think radio now, I mean, unfortunately, it seems like, well, obviously with all the corporations conglomerating radio into one thing, I think it's better when local stations pick their own playlist according to the locality, as opposed to a big corporation in Texas telling the whole country what they like, and because
right.
there's no way they could know because they're not there, and it just
no, and you're right. It's almost like you know, I cut a cut with on based on the premise with a band called the Max Demian Band in Florida, and you know, just the fact that, you know, now you really have to watch out because Big Brother is watching.
Yeah.
It's strange, but, you know, and I'm not paranoid about it. And, you know, and if they are, you know, whatever. No, I don't want to do time.
Right.
You know, I managed to avoid it so far. Not that you deserve it a couple of times, but,
yeah.
You know. You know,
we all have a few get out of jail cards free in our band.
Yeah. You get to be on the audiovisual squad, and if you make it through the Aryan Brotherhood meeting, you get to stay alive.
Yeah, right.
So, the next song is called
Liberation.
Liberation. And what made you write the song?
Liberation. I wrote. It was kind of like just. There's a lot of things that you kind of carry around, you know, in life, like a lot of things that are just passed down from society or whatever, and you carry it and you don't really think about why you decide to think how you think and do what you do. And at some point you just got to say, I know what I think is important in my life, and not in a selfish way, because that's not cool either, but you know, it just gets to a point where you kind of be your own man and, you know, live your own life and do it the way that you see fit, and you just throw all the other stuff to the side, and it just takes a weight off. I know I sleep better living the way I want to, you know, and I'm happy, so it can't be too bad because things are good. And this song was just really about kind of opening up your eyes to some things and just realizing that, you know, part of freedom is a state of mind. Yeah, there's a lot that's horrible out there and that I wish were different, but I'm not going to let that dictate how I feel about going about my own life.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's to me, it was always, this is not breaking, but it's if you want to happen, reality, stick to what you believe in, and you know, walk like you talk, and play in the same band with other people, because it's an incredible feeling to create with other people.
Yeah.
I always ask everybody, but I always found that of all the stuff I've done in 53 years in the studio, basically a lot of hours in the studio, is those moments when a rhythm section comes together, and it's just like magic. It's almost like we all have a bank account in this one collective creative bank, and you know, once in a while it's our turn.
Yeah. No, definitely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I'm the one to die. Now, I'm not one to talk now. Was that on the Red Fox show, Ann Esther? Or was that on Living Color? I'm not one to talk now.
I think
so. But it did leave you with a feeling, right? So why don't we just check out the feeling that we feel now?
And what's wrong?
countdown, 3, 2, 1, and John's going to count down, 3, 2, 1, and are we uptight? And then no way at all.
Huh. Yep.
It's just such a pleasure to be lucky enough to turn you on to music. You know, to new music that maybe, you know, if one person likes it, it was a successful night. But this is good stuff, man. It really is.
Well, thanks.
I still have the golden era, you know.
I believe it.
Of course, I only wear that when I wear my dress on Wednesday when I cross dress. So it's, where do you get the usual places like Reverb Nation or iTunes, or how do you get your product?
Yeah, well, you know, if you go to my my band page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/John L. Sullivan Music, I have the songs on there. You could check them out. And I think there's a link to my Reverb Nation page, which I've been so lazy that I haven't kept up on it. But it's good enough to check out. And we do have a website coming. It's actually, I just bought the domain, and we're getting that put together. So that's all happening this month. And then we're just going to keep rocking in the free world after that, playing out live in Chicago.
I did that record.
Me too. You did that record?
Yeah, Rock in the Free World, yes.
I love that record.
Yeah. Neil came to me with an unfinished album, and he said, I want to hire you. I said, Neil, I don't do promotion. He said, but you took Tracy Chapman in the morning. I said, well, I was there when Brian Koppelman of Discover was born. I worked for his father, and I watched Brian grow up. It was his band, and I liked the song. I'm a songwriter. And I said, it got to go to number one rock. And I said, you're crazy. It's not a rock song. But I did. I took it to number one rock. And my friends who own the production company then made a deal for Neil for $12 million for 12 albums.
Wow.
You know, so I guess I came through for Neil. And, you know, it was sort of cool because of Rolling Stone. He did say, you know, the reason Woodstock 2 and 3 didn't happen is the real promoter, Artie Kornfeld, didn't do it. And I was really stoked by that because Neil really is really intense into what people were doing around him.
Hmm.
So I thought, wow, a compliment for Neil.
Yeah, right. How about it?
Yeah, you know, it's not even an ego thing. It's just recognition, but it's just pure level on a high level, and it's cool to have.
Yeah, well, I think that appreciation always makes a person feel good, and I think that that's a natural thing, and I think it's awesome when it happens, you know?
Oh, yeah, it really is, and it comes in different ways. Like, you know, I didn't even, because I had things to do. So since, you know, I had the Tiger, I got another 40 platinum albums, but the fact is, it was still about music. And then it was Kix and Queensryche and TNT and, you know, 38 Special. You know, a lot of the bands you like in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, like 38 Special was big in Chicago, right?
Yeah, Jim Peterick wrote a couple of their tunes. And of course,
yeah, well, I managed Survivor.
Yeah, I know. I read that on your thing, actually. I ran into him. We don't know each other, but I was with my crew from work, and we went to this little place right by my work. And it's right by where he lives, and he was in there eating. I thought that was pretty cool, just to see him.
Well, I'll get to Chicago, you know that. So I'll see you either at the show, or I'll see you soon, and, you know, stay on the phone. I like talking to you. You know, you're a neat guy, and you're very talented, too.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I like to. I'm glad we got to talk this weekend tonight, you know, just to...
This is good. Are you going to cut again, or what are you going to do?
Am I going to cut another record?
Yeah, you're just going to keep pushing to get this to happen.
Well, no, we're going to do both. I would like to push this and cut a bunch of more songs. I got a ton of new stuff, so.
I might be able to introduce you to who controls what, and help you out a little bit.
Really, man, that'd be fantastic, Artie.
Yeah, because these are guys that work for me, or I work together, you know. It's like, I don't ask them for much because I figure if I'm talking to them, they got their fucking dues.
Hey, man, if you come to them talking about anything, they should be listening to you.
No, they're
around,
man.
You gotta.
If I only knew what I was talking about, it'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Well, you heard my post, and you know I dance to a different drummer.
Yeah.
I just do, and it's hard to keep quiet when you see the world falling apart. You know, we didn't even go there because. That's a dead-end street, and that's why when we escape into music, we are actually a culture inside of all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're based on, you know, what the ancients, probably the Tyrannosaurus had a rhythm section.
Yeah.
Yes, the Tunes will be playing at Eat Your Neighbor tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we off the air or on the air?
I think that we're on the air.
We're going out with feeling, though.
Going out with feeling?
Oh, was that all recorded, what I was saying?
Yeah, but that's okay. It's all good stuff.
Well, good. Well, that's cool. I like it when it's that way. So, did you tell me to get your stuff?
I don't think we got to that. It's okay. Oh, no, I did. I did say it, yeah.
Okay, and let's just go out with the feeling and say we all want the feeling.
That's right.
Hopefully we get a good feeling, and that's what we desperately want, you know. And we're at the point that we've been around that we know that chemicals aren't going to cure. You know, they'll get you there, but yeah, you don't stay there forever in a good place. It turns to hell pretty quick.
Yeah, you just do what you can every day. You wake up and have some gratitude. Project gratitude out there, and I think things just, you know, keep going.
I'm programmed for 28 years. Not that I'm a clone, you know, and I have to go out with people that are on the program. I'm past that.
Yeah.
You know, but to tell you the truth, if I didn't have the program, and I was sober when I went in, and I was really sober, Jim, once. I just had nobody to talk to anymore, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it was sort of fun, you know, just taking Gracie when she was in town to a meeting, and, you know, there was one musician's meeting, you know, the guys from Toto went, and Doug Feiger, and the guys from the Knack went. And
oh, wow.
A lot of us producers, you know, went to that meeting, and you could say whatever you wanted. There was no really big rules, and it was sort of cool. You know, in reality, it's ridiculous because, you know, the way the drugs are now, and they're making it pure and pure, they're hooking more people in. I almost think, I didn't say it, but I almost think that the government, it's so funny that right before, as Monterey was happening, the government allowed acid to go out, you know, without any hassle. And then all of a sudden they got scared because they realized how much power that our generations had.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it became illegal, right?
Yeah.
You know, so the good thing is that we're free right now, you know, and we do have this feeling. So I guess I'll say goodnight, and what do you want to go out with?
I think we're done.
Yeah, we are done. So you know what, everybody, hold the light.
Yeah, definitely.